かもかめまはゆわ Redeem thy captive Israel That into exile drear is gone Far from the face of God's dear Son Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel Shall come to thee, O Israel O come, thou branch of Jesse The quarry from the lion's claw From the dread caverns of the grave From nether hell thy people say Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel Shall come to thee, O Israel O come, thou Lord of David's key, the royal door fling wide and free. Safeguard for us the heavenward road, and bar the way to death's abode. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Shall come to thee, O Israel. Good evening, everyone. Since it's almost Christmas, I thought I would focus on some Christmas music this week. I happen to be of the Christian persuasion, and so I'm not going to include things from the other faith because I don't really know them very well. I certainly think everybody has the right to practice, you know, whatever religion they have or no religion at all or whatever. But, hey, I'm an Episcopalian, so I'm singing Episcopalian songs. I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We welcome you tonight and every night. We hope you'll be here every Thursday right here on Revolution Radio from 8 to 10 p.m. every Thursday to listen to our show. And remember, it's a listener-supported network, and they keep two streams of music, lots and lots of shows going just about 24/7. It's an awesome team, an awesome effort, and they deserve some awesome support. So head on over there. Tell them we sent you. I'm proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Well, hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests, Larry Pinkney, Anthony Rayson, Philip Ferruccio, and Frank Cordero. So this Thursday evening, we're gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, in Port Orange, in Des Moines, Iowa, in northern Minnesota, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in Chicago, Illinois, and wherever you are. My recommended list, YouTube, New York Jazz Lounge, Bar Jazz Classics. Also on YouTube, Scott Creighton, Larry Wilkerson lies again, supporting another regime change op. Colonel Larry is back to his old deceitful tricks, doing his thing in support of our oligarchs' efforts to make the world safe for neoliberalism. Also on YouTube, Linda Moulton Howe, Earth Files, reveals what extraterrestrials really want. YouTube, Tina Foster, crushing it. Tina Foster discusses the latest on Paul is Dead. Attorney and author Tina Foster has researched the Paul is Dead conspiracy theory since 2008. She is preparing to publish a comprehensive book on the subject entitled Plastic Maca, The Secret Death and Replacement of Beatle Paul McCartney. Also on YouTube, Ray McGovern, Russiagate, Can You Handle the Truth? Talk by Ray McGovern, 27-year veteran of the CIA and co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity on Russiagate. recorded August 4th, 2018 at Common Good Cafe, University Temple United Methodist Church, Seattle. And on the Collective Evolution channel, YouTube, the piece, You Felt It Your Entire Life. And finally, the December issue of Penn Magazine, now available. The Resistance, Penn Magazine, P-E-N-N, magazine.us. The American Academy of Letters and Colors, numbers, consonants, rhyming words, dot to dot, scratch and sniff, word find, education, and high honors has announced that people should stop reading newspapers, magazines, and immediately stop watching TV news. It's a shame that you even started, to tell you the truth, says the press release document. We mean, what good is all that other stuff if you don't even know this, continues the official press release document. The Academy is offering extra credit in liberal arts and education and history and meaning and stuff like that for watching the following documentaries, according to the press release document here. Recommended, Wellstone, They Killed Him, by Snowshoe Films. A Noble Lie, RFK Must Die. Retired expert pilot John Lear, No Planes Hit the Towers on 9/11. Jim Fetzer, What Happened to JFK and Why It Matters Today. Kevin Barrett on the 9/11-2001 attack. The Assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King with William Pepper. We Need to Talk About Sandy Hook. The Boston Bombing Hoax, Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. Charlie Sheen talks about the truth about 9/11. A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, Bart Sabrell. The Apollo Astronaut Press Conference. And now, please join us for another episode of Just Living the Dream, Episodes in the Lives of Real Americans. Last week, we saw a family sleeping off Thanksgiving dinner, troops up and down the street and in the bushes. The dog got its throat sliced, bleeding out in the roses. This week, as the world burns outside their door, we see a real, live American family next door watching WWE World Wrestling Entertainment. Go Crusher, Go Killer, Go Stinky, Whooping Cough, Yarn Ball, Frecklezilla, Donkey Dong, The Whopper, Megatron, Dixie, Destroyer, King, Lulu, and Stubby. Yeah, get him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tune in next week for another episode of Just Living the Dream, Episodes in the Lives of Real Americans. And now we return to the adventures of Mark in his parents' basement, covered in Cheetos dust, the man who knew too much, conspiracy theory man, the man of La Mancha, the man in the gray flannel pajama bottoms, Mark, in his parents' basement, covered in Cheetos dust, he who can and will change the world. It is his time. He writes on his blog, Cheetos dust and moon dust are both orange. This new piece he's just now completing. The weakest link. If Gene Rosen is a fake, then the whole chain breaks. Then we know that the Bush administration did 9/11 themselves. Then we know that Karl Rove and George Bush cheated, and Bush was never a real president. Then we know that Dick Cheney and the FBI killed Paul Wellstone. Then we know that Oklahoma City was done by the FBI and the Clinton administration. Then we know that Clinton and Reno burned men, women, and children alive on purpose at Waco. Then we know we never went to the moon. Then we know that the CIA killed John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and John Jr. If Gene Rosen is a fake, then we know that the FBI killed Martin Luther King Jr. We know that Sandy Hook and Aurora and Boston and a dozen other so-called terror events were faked. The weakest link. If Gene Rosen is a fake, then the whole chain breaks. Mark swipes Cheetos dust from his chest, pushes his glasses up tight to his face, and writes, hard to see the dark side is. Do or do not. There is no try.
Our first guest of the evening is Philip Ferrugio. Phil joins us each week from Port Orange, Florida. Phil writes for many different sites on the internet. You can just search for Philip Ferrugio. That's F-A-R-R-U-G-G-I-O. And you'll see a plethora of writing, and it's all good. We are very happy to have Phil on our show with It's the Empire, Stupid.
Good evening, working stiffs. Who needs warriors? The Empire does. You know, the U.S. Army, perhaps in need of more boots on the sand, is revving up its air campaigns. The latest television ad says it plain and clear. Warriors wanted. It got me so angry, I had to write this piece. And, you know, why not just appeal to the childlike video game raised young men and women to join up? I mean, then they can get away from having to work a dead-end job or spend years in college studying, at a great expense, by the way, for an uncertain future employment. So these low-income young kids can now serve their country by becoming occupiers of another Arab country that they themselves really don't understand why the hell we're even there. This baby boomer cannot even conceive of how far my nation has regressed culturally. The celebration of violence is rampant. Who would have ever imagined the popularity of what they actually have the nerve to call a sport in ultimate fighting? If you have not yet watched one of these so-called matches, please do. But first sit and watch the gladiator school scene from the 1960 film Spartacus. You will see more or less just what this newest form of violence as sport has given us. So the same young men and some women who grew up on violent video games and then graduated to UFC, Ultimate Fighting, make a great source for this new Empire's army of warriors. I'm not taking away from the super physical abilities of those who fight in these cage rings, taken right out of Spartacus, by the way. Just as with the professional boxers and athletes from all sports, these folks are dedicated and trained very hard. It's just that to celebrate violence is not what we humans are supposed to have evolved out of and not back into. When this writer played college football back in the 70s, there were but a few of my teammates who took uppers and steroids for better performance. Nowadays, they have to continually drug test all athletes because of the preponderance of new and better forms of these enhancers. Research has also come out that in the arena of U.S. phony wars and occupations, our military has given out uppers and who knows what else to our soldiers in the Middle East. It used to be, back in my day, that the rock and roll mantra of let's go get stoned meant smoking some marijuana and chilling out. Nowadays, it is to get perched like a falcon, ready to attack its prey. Sadly, many of those young men and some women who return home from these phony war zones in the desert become our local police officers. Is that who you want to serve and protect your community? Nice young men and women who join up, then get indoctrinated to see all Arabs as potential terrorists, get sent to places they never should have been sent to, do terrible killings, and then return home as damaged psychological goods. Let's send those men and women dressed in nice suits who run these phony wars to the hot desert's hornet nest. Hand them the helmets and powerful killing instruments, and let them act like the warriors that the commercials trumpet. You'll see how fast our overseas foreign entanglements end. Thank you.
Tonight's show is sponsored in part by a grant from the Paul Harvey Memorial Concentration Camp for the Journalistically Insane. As a visitor comes to the grounds of the prison, one passes a craft shop where refrigerator magnets and wooden wall hangings made by prisoners are available for sale. And that's the way it is. And that's part of our world tonight. We're in touch, so you'll be in touch. Watch Good Morning America tomorrow. The rest of the story. That's the news, and I'm out of here. The Paul Harvey Memorial Concentration Camp for the Journalistically Insane. Officially designated in the Federal Bureau of Prison Systems for lying, greedy, spineless journalists, writers, reporters, editors, online, on camera, on time, on deadline, who have made comfortable careers by deceiving the American public. It is located in the Washington, D.C., Georgetown District. They're currently housed in the Level 6 Federal Penitentiary. Many run-of-the-mill spineless hometown reporters and some famous ones as well. Face the Nation, the nightly news, the Today Show, 60 Minutes, Comedy Central, the McNeil Lehrer Hour, the Schenectady 5 O'Clock Report. All are represented at the Paul Harvey Memorial Concentration Camp for the Journalistically Insane. And so it goes.
This is Andy Rooney. Do you ever wonder, well, the kind of people we have running our government? If we really knew the truth, I believe we would be astonished. Forget about George Washington and the cherry tree, Ronald Reagan making America strong again, the George Bushes riding into the baseball game on national TV to throw out the first ball, then sitting in the front row. Forget about Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, the new liberal Democrats who care about you, SpongeBob, The Simpsons and South Park, Calvin and Hobbes, Snoopy have more to tell us than those guys. If you really want to be a true American, you need to know what the CIA has done in other countries, supposedly in our names, and make sure to read your William Bloom. You need to know what happened to Gary Webb after he wrote a story about CIA drug running in Los Angeles, a story that ran in the San Jose Mercury News when the Webb was first getting going in the early 90s. I remember reading that when we first got America Online, and I thought, wow, here we go. This is going to be a ride. And then that was it. Poof. Now the main media is worse than an underground junior high newsletter. There is more than enough reason to wonder if we really went to the moon and that the government has been withholding information about UFOs, at least in the Soviet Union, when they saw nonsense and lies printed in Pravda and TASS. At least they knew they were lies. We are still at the infancy stage in our development of not questioning the lies. And by the way, Bigfoot is real, I guarantee it. Bigfoot is real in each one of the millions of high school history books, in the bottoms of millions of hall lockers of make-believe. That is really where we are. That is really who we are. And so the next time there is a bombing or a threat of a bombing or a bunch of beguiling blue backpacks found on a bench in Bemidji, the healthy American, the true American, the real American thinks CIA, FBI, the police. The real patriot refuses to stand for the national anthem, and rather than another knee-jerk reciting of the Pledge of Allegiance, he says, not until I get some questions answered, because this is important stuff. This has been Andy Rooney. Don't you ever wonder? We have again received word from Randall from Stevens Point. I got my gun in my truck. I told you I'm headed for the woods and up the mountain, and that's where I am right now. I can see y'all from right here through my scope. Don't worry, I got the safety on. Okay, it's on now. Tell Bubba Jean I always loved her. Don't follow me. I got on my camo socks. You'd never find me. When you hear about the big shootout and all that, then that'll be me. Randall from Stevens Point is now up in the mountains. His note continues, the essence of any false flag terror event is a story. It has to be compelling, and it has to hit us on an emotional level. It must feature heroes, villains, victims, and an assortment of supporting players. It must have a setting, both in space and time, which becomes an essential part of its core message. The story will have a plot and subplots that are heartbreaking, angering, inspiring, and uniting even, if ultimately causing anxiety and a sense of helplessness in the audience. Our sense of security is temporarily threatened by a disorienting act of violence, but we are reassured that those in authority will protect us and that we will find strength in overcoming the adversity. And more from Randall. Dave McGowan has explained why people are so hostile to the idea that Apollo was not what we thought, what we were told. It is not the lie itself that scares the people. It is what that lie says about the world around us and how it really functions. For if NASA was able to pull off such an outrageous hoax before the entire world and then keep that lie in place for four decades, what does that say about the control of the information we receive. What does that say about the media and the scientific community and the educational community and all the other institutions we depend on to tell us the truth? What does that say about the very nature of the world we live in? This is why the term conspiracy theorist has been cultivated and baked into our culture to defend those in power from having the big lies challenged.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, come peasant king to own him, the King of Kings salvation bring, let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A. We'll be right back.
travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendivite.com. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now, for another episode of The Adventures of Orson B. Riddle, crisis actor of Omaha. Orson sits on his cement front steps, smoking, to watch traffic, but there's no traffic. Inside, on the walls above the TV and Xbox in the brown frame, is his membership certificate to the Crisis Actors Guild. And on the kitchen table, he still has to mail it yet, is his membership application to the Propaganda Movie Actors Association. His suitcase lays wide open on the bed because he just got home from Florida, and you can't really see the stickers he has collected from Oklahoma, Texas, California, New York, Boston, Connecticut, Nevada. Orson B. Riddle usually only gets 1, 2, or maybe 3 days at home until it's time to pack his makeup kit, head bandages, prosthetics, and go to the next big event. For 3 years, he worked at Walmart, and then he saw this ad on Craigslist, and he's never looked back. He's got his laptop open, and he's reading, even though he's been told to only watch TV for his news. He squints his eyes as he reads, White House Correspondents' Dinner. Very funny. Why do they act like humans here, but on their regular TV news shows, they act like robots? What is happening here? Why don't they make fun of the charades of Parkland, Las Vegas, Boston, 9/11? Found a passport in that gigantic pile of debris, Shanksville, plane parts? I don't see no plane parts, do you? There's plenty of material here. 2 dead deputies from Broward County who would not go into a building with a shooter in there. What's the matter, guys? Spiders in there? Robbie Parker, Carlos Arredondo, Gene Rosen. Come on, that's a whole act right there. And H. Wayne Carver, a lying fat state mortician with the name Carver? Come on, guys. Don't tell us you can't think of anything. Nothing? Colbert? Jon Stewart? Even Rachel Madcow should be able to come up with 1 joke. I know, right? Orson goes inside for his cigarettes, walking right past the TV on full blast, as it's supposed to be, then comes back out and continues to read on his computer. Join us next week for yet another episode of Orson B. Riddle, Crisis Actor of Omaha, sponsored by Quick Dry Oats. Hardened to a cement block in your stomach within minutes, because you never know when you're going to get a good hard kick in the gut, because these days you really never know when the big hit is going to come now, do you? We're Quick Dry Oats of Minneapolis. Our next guest of the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero joins us each week from Des Moines, Iowa. Frank is a former Catholic priest, a former county jail prisoner and federal prisoner, for fighting against the U.S. military and for the rest of us. And we're going to get to hear conversation right now between Frank Cordero and Chuck Gregory.
Yo, Doug.
Well, hello, Frank.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, Merry Christmas, so to speak.
Next week we'll be in the thick of it.
So, you know, I just thought that today I would share about some of my sense of these Christmas scriptures that we have. I think they're worth, you know, a 5-minute a review, at least as it guides me and leads folks like myself to get in the street and protest things like the drone command on the Feast of the Holy Innocents. December 28th. It's a great sense of the biblical texts. The Christmas stories are really great revolutionary texts. They just have to be dismantled. There are only two of them. Matthew has his, and Luke has his, and they're told from entirely different perspectives. Matthew. Mary doesn't say a word. The guy who's leads the charge is Joseph. He's the guy who gets the dreams. He's the one who has to take Mary into the house. They are already in Bethlehem. There's no Nazareth thing going on here. And in the Matthew thing, Joseph accepts the dreams in Bethlehem, it's the angels that tell him to get out of town because the Magi who brought the star are also bringing Herod's death squads. In Matthew, we would call this a high visible birth because it's very political. Not everybody has a star, and stars were always in those days connected with the powers of the world, different kings and stuff. So a new star meant a new king. And these Magi, they came from Persia. The only Magi that would be traveling through that area with similar goals would be going to a christening of a new Caesar in Rome, and they would be bringing gifts for the new Christ of Rome. But the Matthew guy tells the story that this star led them to Jerusalem, and when they came into the city, they said the whole city was in an uproar. So this is not a a low key birth. This kid was already shaken. The governments of his time. When the news of it got to Herod, he got his scholars out there. They looked at the books. They examined what the wise guy said. Said, "Hey, headed him off to Bethlehem, waited for word to see who this guy was, so that they could kill him." And the Magi go, I love this star, it changes direction. I mean, how many stars changes direction? Really, it's amazing. It's this great story, but in the end, the star really uncovered the Magi, so the Herod's death squad could come and try to kill him. And the angel gets to Joseph, and they get out of town. And in Matthew ends with the story of the birth. Jesus and the Holy Family are refugees at a superpower that take them in. They don't turn them away. And they spend 12 years there until the heat got down. That's Matthew's version. And that's why we, when we think about what's going on, death squads, political power, always putting down the just people and who the just needs to hear. It's just a rich story about the prologue, of course, about the larger Matthew gospel. Luke's story is a little different. Joseph is almost invisible. And in fact, all the men are almost invisible. In fact, the story begins with Zechariah in the temple, the Holy of Holies, and he's struck dumb because he didn't trust that the angel's word that he would have a son and Elizabeth would have a son. And from that point on, they're out of the temple, and all the activity happens with these two women, Elizabeth and Mary, two pregnant Jewish women who are problem pregnancies. Elizabeth is pregnant, and she's beyond her years. That's like having someone in Des Moines who's 65, and they're going to have a baby. You can bet all of the channels, TV channels, will be covering it. And Mary herself had a problem pregnancy because the father was up in the air. Nobody knew who it was, and she was a maiden. And yet these two women have these great encounter. They embraced what the angel tells them, their children are born in a very precarious situations where Jesus in the Luke story has to leave Nazareth. The family leaves Nazareth, and that's where they're in the manger. It's like no one in the world even knows they're there, except the shepherds who the angels bring through their concert. So each of them speak about a birth of a kid in an occupied country, one from the Greek and Roman point of view and the other one from the Jewish point of view. But they all speak of a kid who's going to be problems for the larger world. We have in the Luke rendition, Mary's Magnificat. The Magnificat is like, you know, it's like the walking orders for liberation theology, the energy for justice in that song that Mary sings when she meets Elizabeth. It's amazing, but it's a prototype for what we as Christians should be doing. So Christmas is so much more important, and the birth of Jesus is so much more news and important news than the normal understanding that's out there in the culture. So I've rattled on for a bit of time here. Have I lost anybody here? Are you over there? Are you still there, Chuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I make a point of trying to make these texts come alive each year, try to package them. This year we've got West Howard Brook, great. He's written a couple books. So he's like a rabbi, a scripture guy for me, and he's going to be leading a two-session retreat right before we go out for our December 28th Feast of Holy Innocents protest at our Armed Drone Command Center. And the way I look at it, the Magi, the star, brought the heat of the death squads. In our empire, we don't need the divine star. We got satellites of our own, and they bring their own death into homes and people's lives, very similar to the homes and people's lives that Herod disrupted in Bethlehem. And these are the casualties of empire, and we are the problem. We're not the good guys in this story,
indeed.
And we got to get that straight. We got to get that straight.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we'll be doing, working on next week.
Well, that... I was really fascinated, Frank, by your rendition of the different Christmas stories, because I had never looked at them in quite that way before. So you made me really think about them.
It's really easy. It's a plot, narrative, conflict. How's it resolved?
Yeah,
I mean. Things do flow. It's just that we're not supposed to read
like
this thing and those
an
things.
English student, right? I mean, but wow, it's really get hit home.
Good. I'm glad. Merry Christmas, Chuck.
Merry Christmas, Frank.
God bless. All right, see you. All right, bye.
Our next guest of the show is Anthony Rayson. Anthony Rayson joins us each month from Chicago. Anthony's a former a toll booth operator on the Chicago freeway system. He has operated, he has published zines for a long time, and he communicates with prisoners. They write to him. He publishes the zines, and he distributes those zines in, back into the prisons and into the general society. So now we're going to attempt to contact Anthony Rayson in Chicago.
You then.
Well, hello, Anthony. It's Chuck and Mike, New American Dream Radio Show. You're on the air, and hey, we wish you a Merry Christmas.
Thanks. It was nice seeing you last month when you came up to Chicago.
Oh, it was great visiting with you up there. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thanks. I'm going to check out a little mailbag here from the prisoners and see what they had to say. It's pretty interesting stuff. This one's from a female prisoner in Arizona. It's just a little postcard. She writes, "Hello, please send me the catalog for prisoner publications. I will share it with my whole bay, 300 women inmates, and they will probably share it with friends and families too. I saw your info from a reference guide sent to me from the Prison Project Santa Fe Coalition. My address is on the front, and I can help you any way you need. Thanks." So just think of that chain reaction type of outreach we're going to start with them. Okay, here's an interesting letter from a prisoner, Michael Sosa, in Ionia, Michigan. He says, "Dear Anthony, I hope all is truly well. Those involved in the struggle, I received your letter. Unfortunately, the four zines you sent were rejected by the mailroom. The administration at the Gulag are beginning to see how my fellow comrades and myself are banding together as more guys are joining the ranks. These oppressors are doing anything they can to silence us and disrupt the flow of literature and knowledge. But little do they realize that with each attempt to silence us, they only give us more strength to push back and the ability to bring more guys into the struggle. I'm sending you a copy of our petition and proposal that seven of us will be submitting. Sorry about the condition of them, but I only had enough pipe for those of us who will be submitting them. These are handwritten copies and state word for word, verbatim, what our typed copies state. If you can, please save these copies just in case they come and shake us down and confiscate the originals, only remaining copies. Comrade and myself are new in this process of writing personal micro memoirs about our personal experience of why we are in ADSEG and the work we were doing before and during our time in ADSEG. And finally, what we're working on now and the outcome of once it's done. After we reach the conclusion of what we're currently working on, we hope to combine our experiences and shared struggle to publish a zine. We also want to shed light on some of the other horrific acts which have occurred at this death camp. We have an officer who was sympathetic to our cause and gave us tips on some research. We found 18 deaths that have occurred just in 2018 at this gulag. 2 suicides, 2 overdoses, 3 from prisoner-on-prisoner assault, 4 from natural causes, and 7 from taser or blunt force trauma inflicted by officers. As a prisoner of this death camp, I've been here since 2016, and we, the population, only were aware of these threats, 3 deaths. The mass cover-up of murder that takes place here is unacceptable. And we also found that 14 of those 18 deaths took place while the prisoner was in ADSEG. But we're the criminals. I'm doing a total of 17 years for 2 robberies, but these pigs are being paid to come in and either oversee or overlook mass murder. It sickens me. Anyways, I'll save the rants for the zine in the works. I just wanted to send an update on the things we're working on here. We are setting these petitions and proposals." And so he sent me his full-blown proposal, and they're going on a hunger strike over this. And this letter was dated December 9th, so it's 9 days ago or 10 days ago. So there's a lot of things going on constantly that no one ever hears about hardly. Here's an interesting one. It's kind of funny. It's sort of a shout out to Kanye West, who, he's hanging out with Trump and he's talking about prison reform and he's talking to moving back to Chicago. So it's kind of appropriate. Okay. Short bio. Keith Malik Washington is co-founder and chief spokesperson for the End Prison Slavery in Texas movement, a proud member of the Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee, an activist in the Fight Toxic Prisons campaign, and deputy chairman of the New African Black Panther Party prison chapter. You can read Malik's work at CarmenMalik.com. He encourages everyone to visit his website. Okay, sisters and brothers, let's quit saying that slavery was officially over or abolished in 1865. No, it continues. By our own constitutional admission, the institution of slavery has been officially put into another official context, which makes it legal for those who have been convicted of crimes to be subjected to slavery. Kanye, thus far, that MAGA hat represents a continued perpetuation of the institutions of slavery, white supremacy, xenophobia, homophobia, patriarchy, and misogynistic attitudes and behaviors. None of that is you. So why would you wear it? Kanye, if you are serious about truly making America great, holla at me. I'm one of the leading voices of a movement which is determined to end prison slavery, amend the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. We really could use your support, dare to struggle, dare to win, all power to the people. And he says, is Kanye West with us? Well, I've seen the ambiguous tweets, and I've heard about the visit to the White House. I've also heard about the most recent change in directions. You know, proper education always corrects errors, which is an acronym for PEACE. I've never been one to beat around the bush or play games, so I will say exactly what I mean right here and right now. Kanye, are you with us? I mean, are you, Kim, and even Pusha T willing to help us take our abolition struggle to the next level? Will you consider helping us launch a serious campaign which seeks to strike the exception clause in the 13th Amendment? I'm talking directly to the God body known as Kanye West. Can you hear me now? That's cute. And then I got my own little rejection notice in the mail from the Missouri prison. It's a Dear South Chicago ABC Zine Distro. Missouri Department of Corrections has reviewed material sent to Morris Brandon, who is currently confined at Potosi Correctional Center. We have determined the material identified on the closed censorship notification form, prohibited, blah, blah, blah. And then they state their reasons why it's prohibited. And this is kind of interesting because it's an essay I wrote entitled Slaughterhouses and Prisons for All the Animals. Okay, they say, well, it promotes, incites, advocates, facilitates, or otherwise presents a risk of lawlessness, violence, anarchy, or rebellion against the governed authority. Additional comments. They don't list any comments or anything. There's a number, 4140, whatever that means. So I'm going to challenge this. They actually give me time to challenge it. So here's my response. You know how much time I got left. Okay, dear DAI director, greetings. I was sent a censorship notice included with this letter from Potosi Correctional Center there in Missouri. First, I want to express my appreciation for having the opportunity to respond to this in a timely manner. Usually it's past the time you're allowed to respond to. Second, I'd like to repudiate this lame attempt at censorship. I run a service which provides literature to prisoners mainly on a number of subjects, especially geared to their needs and interests. The work of many different people born inside, both inside and out, are represented, including historical material, analysis, resources, popular culture, poetry, fiction, essays, etc. My complete archives are housed at DePaul University here in Chicago, and they are also proactive in distributing this material, using it in classrooms, putting on prisoner art shows, doing seminars, and so forth. As well, this is the 28th year which I've been doing this, which goes to prisoners in all 50 states. I do write my own material, which is available, along with many other publications written by others that I am the editor of. This particular piece was written by me in 1999, I believe. I have sent it out to many prisoners in many states, sometimes upon request and other times as a sort of bonus. For every year, I put out a comprehensive catalog together which tells the reader the names and the titles of the now over 1,200 publications I have made it possible to acquire. This essay was itself edited and became a chapter in a book. Saying all that, I find the reasoning for the censorship to be lacking. It claims this piece promotes, incites, advocates, facilitates, otherwise presents a risk of lawlessness, violence, anarchy, blah, blah, blah. These are serious charges. Frankly, I detest violence, and I do a lot to help educate prisoners to overcome their criminal compulsions and settle their differences without resorting to violence. When I looked down to find out the specifics of these allegations, all I found was a number, 4140. I don't know what that refers to, but it certainly doesn't bolster the damning claim previously made. There is no real proof. This is not a legitimate effort to justify censorship of this essay, or anything really. Where are the citations and quotes? Where's the logic justifying such a blanket claim? I consider this a philosophical piece. Obviously, Ryan Cruz and Michelle Kasich either didn't agree like what I had to say. Do they even read it or attempt to highlight the alleged offensive parts? I don't know. Yet it sure doesn't appear so. But it does seem for such a serious charge, they did next to nothing to reason through their allegations. Empty allegations are not sufficient to, one, deny this particular inmate, Brandon Morris, his First Amendment rights to free speech, nor to impugn my reputation. Occasionally, I've had material rejected, but it almost invariably makes a specific case as to why said material is unacceptable. I'm not trying to teach prisoners how to be violent here. I am trying to provide them food for thought. When we've gotten lawyers involved in these situations, once it gets to a judge, he or she invariably rules that the prisoner cannot have his First Amendment rights infringed upon in this manner. Now, I don't even know if Mr. Morse asked for this essay, so I feel bad for him feeling targeted for something he may have had nothing to do with. For these reasons, I believe that the censoring of this material should be rescinded. I appreciate your time and attention in this manner. Take care. Okay. Well, it's like when a cop shoots somebody and he goes to front of the police board. They're just going to go through the motions and rubber stamp it and justify the shooting. It's the same thing they have with these censorship allegations. But they need to be challenged, and they got to let it be known that, if it comes to talk, we will take it to court and challenge this ridiculousness, because, the First Amendment has not been written out of the Constitution yet, much like the part about slavery is still in there too. So,
well, Anthony,
get another one here. I don't know how we're doing on time.
That pretty much wraps up the time, but thank you so much for being with us tonight. Thank you for being with us every month, and I look forward to talking to you next year.
Yeah, that'll be good. All right, take care.
Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Ohio Exopolitics will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A. Mark Steyer will have guests on that will discuss many important topics, including the state of the world today. However, much of the show will be dedicated to the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Let me read a short passage from one of his writings. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Please join Mark on Ohio Exopolitics from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendivite.com. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hello, folks. Well, we're having some technical difficulties here in Fort Lauderdale at our, quote, studio, which is really my living room. But I believe I'm going to be able to get everything working again. So we're just trying it right now. So the first thing I'm trying to do is add Mike on, and we should have him here any minute now. Okay, we are calling him right now, and see what happens. Okay, Mike, if... Now that you're back, why don't you go ahead and intro Larry while I find his number and try to add him on to the call.
Our next guest to the show is Larry Pinkney. Larry joins us each month from Minneapolis. Larry is a former member of the Black Panther Party back in the 1960s. He did some time in prison. Right now, he's a radio show host, he's a writer, he's an activist, and we're very pleased and lucky and proud to be able to present to you Larry Pinkney each month. And Chuck, if you're ready, can we try and contact Larry?
Okay, we are trying it right now. Always good to have a backup.
Good evening. Hello. Larry Pinkney speaking.
Hello, Larry. It's Chuck and Mike. The New American Radio Show.
Yep.
Merry Christmas and all the other holidays you might prefer. And welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Chuck, and thank you, Mike, and let's do it. I want to say Merry Christmas to you and Chuck and Mike and everybody listening, and a happy and safe new year of the coming year. All right, let's get right to it. Yeah, I know the feeling. You know, one of the things that's being, let me put it this way, the system is always playing games with us. The system is always pushing some kind of rule, well, some kind of trick.
We're having all kinds of problems here. I don't know if anybody's still here.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you again now. I don't know quite what happened.
Oh, okay.
Okay now.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, I'll go quickly. I want to say again, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, Chuck, and Mike, and to the entire audience. So I'm going to get right on. I hope I'm coming across loud and clear. Let me say this. As I said earlier, the system is always trying to push some kind of game, some kind of ruse, some kind of way of distracting and disempowering and just basically manipulating and controlling us. Oh, when I say us, I mean all of us, everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow folk, yellow people, everyday, ordinary people. One of the big games going on right now, and I want to warn everybody about this little ruse, this little game, is a game that they call, and it especially comes from the Democrats, so-called Democrats, a game that they call racial equity. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Racial equity. But do not be fooled. Do not be fooled. Racial equity, as defined and used by these folks, is really all about a way of controlling, manipulating, and once again, disempowering people. And I just have to be very blunt about this, speaking as a veteran of the Black Panther Party, et cetera, et cetera. I've got to say this. I can't beat around the bush. You know, what I'm witnessing is very clever, devious, reactionary, and insidious de facto race-baiting cultural Black nationalists now masquerading under the banner of so-called racial equity. Do not be fooled. It's another divide and conquer game. And a part of that game, as I said, is being purveyed by, used by the insidious race baiting cultural Black nationalists who are masquerading under this banner of so-called racial equity. You know, we need to understand that our struggle is a struggle for all of us. If there's going to be any kind of equity, it has to be across the board. You can't have equity on one's own terms. Otherwise, you don't have equity. You actually have inequity. So again, with all due respect, I warn our listeners, do not be fooled by this term that you will hear called racial equity. It's another method of divide and conquer, and it's being used. The so-called cultural Black nationalists love it because they can use this to pull in unsuspecting people, persons, especially younger persons, who have not learned how to critically think and critically analyze, who don't pay attention or have not had the opportunity yet to pay attention to our history as a people. And when I say as a people, I'm talking about Black, white, brown, red, and yellow people in this country. Do not be fooled. All right. So I'm not going to go on and on, but that's a point that this evening I thought was extremely important to make to all of the listeners in the New American Dreams radio land. I wish you all well. Love you all. Take care. Stay strong. Remember that the struggle is a struggle for all of us, Black, white, brown, red, and yellow. And this struggle will continue, and it will succeed. We are fighting hard. Do not be sucked in. do not be sucked in. All right. I'm going to leave it at that for now. I don't want to, you know, belabor this, but I am honored once again to be allowed to speak with all my brothers and sisters in Radio Land of New American Dream, and to you, Chuck, and you, Mike. All power to the people, as we said in the original Black Panther Party, the original real Black Panther Party. All power to the people, black, white, brown, red, yellow. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for being a regular guest on our show. And we just really appreciate it. It is our honor to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Be safe. Stay strong, my brother. And to all my brothers and sisters out there. And you too, Mike, wherever you are. Okay. Thank you, Brother Chuck.
Thank you. Talk to you next year.
Okay. All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now for another episode of Minnesota Ice. It's cold. Sponsored by Minnesota Public Radio, a Prairie Home Companion, Powder Milk Biscuits, Big Walleye Shore Lunch Mix, and Big Blue Ox Bologna in a big box. In this week's episode of Minnesota Ice, Minnesota's Democratic senators were at one time Al Franken and Amy Klobuchar. Paul Wellstone was also a Democratic senator from Minnesota who opposed war and questioned the official 9/11 story. The man who knew too much. And then there's Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton, who was once U.S. Senator Mark Dayton, Democrat, Minnesota. Back in the days just before 9/11, Dayton nearly broke down crying on the Senate floor as he rallied against the grotesque lies told by his own military leadership. Shortly thereafter, Senator Dayton was forced to flee Washington, D.C., along with his entire staff, and return to Minnesota due to terrorist threats and announce his retirement. His fellow Minnesota senator and 9/11 skeptic Paul Wellstone didn't get the message and was murdered along with his wife, daughter, and staffers in a rigged plane crash less than a week after he was issued an apparent death threat by Dick Cheney. Dayton knows the truth about what happened to Paul Wellstone, but says nothing. So do Al Franken and Amy Klobuchar. They say nothing. We do nothing. We want to live. We like our lives. Please forgive us. Don't hate us because we're rich and powerful and having a pretty great time while others die. Minnesota Ice. It's cold. And now a message in a Boone's Farm bottle. Some notes we have been receiving during the first half of our show from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph. From Richard Dolan, we hear, we can't trust anything that comes out of the United States government's official mouth at all. Not ever. Not under George W. Bush, not under Obama, not under Trump. The UFO reality is so deep. It is so revolutionary. It is so disturbing. It has caused so much profound criminal secrecy over an entire human lifetime. It is literally not possible legally to officially disclose this without a lot of heads rolling politically. A lot of people would be angry about being lied to for over 70 years. On top of that, we've got the implications of the transfer of our energy paradigm, which certainly would happen in the aftermath of a genuine disclosure. Whatever these objects are using to travel, it's not petroleum. Whatever it is going to be better than what we have, and that portends a complete revolution to our society in ways that are unimaginable to the power structure. Beyond that, there are countless ramifications to disclosure, all of which are revolutionary. And if there's one thing the hierarchical elite does not want, it is a revolution.
From the most dangerous blogger on the planet, Mark, in his parents' basement, writing on his blog entitled Moon Dust and Cheetos Dust Are Both Orange, get it? The tragedy of September 11, 2001 goes far beyond the deaths of those who died in the towers
and the deaths of firefighters and first responders who succumb to illnesses caused by inhalation of toxic dust. For 16 years, a new generation of Americans has been born into the 9/11 myth that has been used to create the American warfare police state. The corrupt Bush and Obama and now Trump regimes used 9/11 to kill, maim, dispossess, and displace millions of Muslims in seven countries, none of whom had anything whatsoever to do with 9/11. A generation of Americans has been born into disdain and distrust of Muslims. A generation of Americans has been born into a police state in which privacy and constitutional protections no longer exist. A generation of Americans has been born into continuous warfare while needs of citizens go unmet. A generation of Americans has been born into a society in which truth is replaced with the endless repetition of falsehoods. According to the official story on September 11, 2001, the vaunted national security state of the world's only superpower was defeated by a few young Saudi Arabians armed only with box cutters. If such a thing had actually happened, there would have been demands from the White House, from Congress, and from the media for an investigation. Officials would have been held accountable for their failures. Heads would have rolled. Instead, the White House resisted for 1 year the 9/11 family's demands for an investigation. The worst security failure in history resulted in not a single firing. No one was held responsible. Washington concluded 9/11 was possible because America lacked a police state. The Patriot Act, which was awaiting the event, was quickly passed by the congressional idiots. The act established executive branch independence of law and the Constitution. The act and follow-up measures have institutionalized a police state in the land of the free. Osama bin Laden, a CIA asset dying of renal failure, was blamed, despite his explicit denial. For the next 10 years, Osama bin Laden was the bogeyman that provided the excuse for Washington to kill countless numbers of Muslims. Then suddenly, on May 2, 2011, Obama claimed that U.S. Navy SEALs had killed bin Laden in Pakistan. Eyewitnesses on the scene contradicted the White House's story. Osama bin Laden became the only human in history to survive renal failure for 10 years. There was no dialysis machine in what was said to be bin Laden's hideaway. The numerous obituaries of bin Laden's death in December 2001 went right down the memory hole. The SEAL team died a few weeks later in a mysterious helicopter crash in Afghanistan. The thousands of sailors on the aircraft carrier for which bin Laden was said to have been dumped into the Indian Ocean wrote home that no such burial took place. The fairy tale story of bin Laden's murder by SEAL Team 6 served to end the challenge by disappointed Democrats to Obama's nomination for a second term. And it also freed the war on terror from the bin Laden constraint. Washington wanted to attack Libya, Syria, and Iran, countries in which bin Laden was known not to have organizations. The succession of fake bin Laden videos in which bin Laden grew progressively younger as the fake bin Laden claimed credit for each successive attack. Well, these had lost credibility among experts. Watching the Twin Towers and WTC-7 come down, it was obvious to me the buildings were not falling down as a result of structural damage. When it became clear the White House had blocked an independent investigation of the only three steel skyscrapers in world history to collapse as a result of low-temperature office fires, it was apparent there was a cover-up. After 16 years plus, people at home and abroad find the government's story less believable, that 9/11 was used to fundamentally alter the nature of the U.S. government and its relationship to the American people. Unaccountable executive power has replaced due process and the checks and balances. established by the U.S. Constitution. In the name of national security, executive power knows no restraints. Essentially, Americans today have no rights if the government targets them. Those Americans born after 9/11 were born into a different country from the rest of us, having never experienced constitutional government. They will not know, they do not know what they have lost. Most Americans are unaware of the extent to which the federal government owns the experts who can contradict its fairy tales. The 9/11 lie has persisted for more than 16 years. Millions of Muslims have paid for the lie with their lives, the destruction of their families, and with their dislocation. Most Americans remain comfortable with the fact that their government has destroyed in whole or part seven countries based on a lie that Washington told to cover up an inside job that launched the crazed neoconservative drive from Washington's world empire.
From Mark, in Tip of the Iceberg Falls, South Carolina, we hear, media manipulation in the U.S. today is more efficient than it was in Nazi Germany because here we have the pretense that we are getting all the information we want. That misconception prevents people from even looking for the truth. And from Joseph in Pulled Pork, Mississippi, a cynical, mercenary, demagogic press will produce in time a people as base as itself. And from Marion in Jennifer Falls, Vermont. What's wrong with our children? Adults telling children to be honest while lying and cheating. Adults telling children to not be violent while marketing and glorifying violence. I believe that adult hypocrisy is the biggest problem children face in America today. A message in a Boone's Farm bottle. Some notes we have been receiving from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph. And now tonight, our New American Dream Company will present excerpts from a speech given by Harold Pinter while accepting the Nobel Prize for Literature 2005. His talk was entitled Art, Truth, and Politics. Politicians, on the evidence available to us, are interested not in truth, but in power and in the maintenance of that power. To maintain that power, it is essential that people remain in ignorance, that they live in ignorance of the truth, even the truth of their own lives. What surrounds us, therefore, is a vast tapestry of lies upon which we feed. The crimes of the U.S. have been systematic, constant, vicious, remorseless, but very few people have actually talked about them. You have to hand it to America. It has exercised a quite clinical manipulation of power worldwide while masquerading as a force for universal good. It is a brilliant, even witty, highly successful act of hypnosis. I put it to you that the U.S. is, without doubt, the greatest show on the road. Brutal, indifferent, scornful, and ruthless it may be, but it is also very clever.
As a salesman, it is out on its own, and its most saleable commodity is self-love. It's a winner. Listen to all American presidents on television say the words, the American people, as in the sentence, I say to the American people, it is time to pray and to defend the rights of the American people. And I ask the American people to trust their president in the action he's about to take on behalf of the American people. It's a scintillating strategy. Language is actually employed to keep thought at bay. The words, the American people, provide a truly voluptuous cushion of reassurance. You don't need to think, just lie back on the cushion. The cushion may be suffocating your intelligence and your critical faculties, but it's very comfortable.
This does not apply, of course, to the 24 million people living below the poverty line and the 2 million men and women imprisoned in the vast gulag of prisons, which extend across the U.S.
The United States no longer bothers about low-intensity conflict. It no longer sees any point in being reticent or even devious. It puts its cards on the table without fear or favor. It quite simply doesn't give a damn about the United Nations, international law, or critical dissent, which it regards as impotent and irrelevant. The United States is now totally frank about putting its cards on the table. Its official declared policy is now defined as full-spectrum dominance. It's not my term, it's theirs. Full-spectrum dominance means control of land, sea, air, and space, and all attendant resources. The United States now occupies 702 military installations throughout the world and 132 countries. We don't know quite how they got there, but they're there all right. The United States possesses 8,000 active and operational nuclear warheads. 2,000 are on hair trigger alert, ready to be launched with a 15-minute warning. Developing new systems of nuclear force, known as bunker busters. Many thousands, if not millions, of people in the United States itself are demonstrably sick and shamed and anchored by their government sanctions actions. But as things stand, they're not a coherent political force yet. But the anxiety, uncertainty, and fear, which we can see growing daily in the United States, is unlikely to diminish.
This has been excerpts from a speech given by Harold Pinter while accepting the Nobel Prize for Literature 2005. Art, Truth, and Politics.
Find some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Baby Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendivite.com. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, Mike, are you back?
I'm back, yep.
Okay, well, we're ready to go. Go.
And now we join in progress another episode of The Americans. The Americans is brought to us by crisis actors of the homeland, Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, COINTELPRO, and by Kraft and Blackwater, bringing you Aurora, Tucson, Orlando, the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, Charlottesville, and so much more. The Americans dream of marshmallow clouds and lollipop lanes and TV towns, while the world wails, fists clenched, tears streaming. The Americans dream of rocket ships, fireworks, freedom, and hallelujah, while they sleep on through the alarm, the house of fire. It's true that the newcomers to Washington, D.C. are different than ever before, but after all is said and done, they are Americans. The construction is underway for the wall around the Washington, D.C. Beltway to drain the swamp with an impressive culvert system and to separate the White House, the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Congress, and the Washington Press Corps from normal human beings. Scattered around the job site are the wooden boards to be tacked up all around the new wall with the message, let me put it this way. While 9/11 was a U.S. deep state operation, probably subcontracted for execution to the Israelis, the entire Washington swamp has been, since 9/11, accomplished after the fact by helping to maintain the cover-up. If this is brought into light, then thousands of political careers are going to crash and burn into the scandal. From way far away, we zoom in and see all gathered around the cherry tree set up for Christmas. In the middle of the parallelogram office, the cherry tree is decorated with fake snow and copies of the Warren Commission report and the 9/11 Commission report. Gold and silver glitter is scattered over the floor. In the corner with the donkeys and elephants, Benjamin Netanyahu giggles in the manger while George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama, wearing towels on their heads and bearing gold and cream cheese bagels, kneel in a row. Everyone wears their camo pajamas and sips hot cocoa from camo mugs. They all sit on big green and red cushy pillows. President Cosmo Nutt, dressed from head to toe in camo and wearing a camo Santa's cap, proudly brings in the Big Book of America as the band The Good Americans stands over by the window and sings quietly the Star-Spangled Banner to the tune of Jingle Bells. President Nutt settled into the big chair. As he waits for everyone to get settled and scooch up closer, he scribbles in the margins of the Big Book of America, passed down from Jefferson, Lincoln, and Roosevelt. Nutt put a hand up to extinguish a yawn and drew with pen in the old book a few dollar signs, boobs, and tanks. All around him in the low light of the high fourth-story office sit Imelda Nutt, Rusty the Patsy, Mama Jemima the MK Ultra Trainer, Jews the Limo Driver, Buzz the Space Dog, Ricardo the Space Cat, Muhammad Ali the Terrorist, Slappy the House Alien, Morgan Freeman of the Office of the War of the Worlds, Warren Beatty the Secretary of Getting Things Right, and Cecil B. the Propaganda, the White House Photographer, while the child left behind watches from under the big desk, writing on a yellow legal tab, over and over and whispering to herself, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Nutt waited while Buzz circled his cushy pillow three times before getting settled. He then began to read. America is number one, and God and Santa love America most, and Christmas is for us. And this is how it all happened, really. The story of Christmas is the story of America, and the story of America is the story of Christmas, and it began like that, and it goes on forever and ever, just like that, he read from the book. Once upon a time, there was a very bad man, deep in the woods, deep in the desert, deep in the ocean, high in the mountains. His name was Osama bin McVeigh, bin Atta, bin Sirhan, bin Big Bad Wolf, bin Oswald, bin Manson, bin Putin, bin Saddam, bin Rumalama Ding Dong, bin Bopshi Bopshi Bop. And they all snuggled closer together as the good Americans hummed, "And I'm proud to be an American, or at least I know I'm free," to the tune of "Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer." Nutt continued, "Modern propaganda techniques utilized by the corporate state to enforce anti-democratic and destructive policies routinely entail the manufacture and manipulation of news events to mold public opinion and, as Edward Bernays put it, engineer consent towards certain ends. Upon securing a second term in 1916, the Democratic administration of Woodrow Wilson plunged the United States into the most violent and homicidal war in human history. Wilson, a former Princeton University academician, groomed for public office by Wall Street bankers, assembled a group of progressive left journalists and publicists to sell the war to the American people. George Creel, Walter Lippmann, Edward Bernays, and Harold Laswell all played influential roles in the newly formed Committee on Public Information and would go on to be major figures in political thought, public relations, and psychological warfare research. The sales effort was unparalleled in its scale and sophistication. On an average week, more than 20,000 newspaper columns carried data provided through CPI propaganda. The division of syndicated features enlisted the help of popular novelists, short story writers, and essayists. The U.S. economic provocation of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor and the Tonkin Gulf incident precipitating U.S. military occupation of Vietnam are obvious examples of such manufactured events. Similar techniques are apparent in the major political assassinations of the 60s, where to this day the public is prompted to partake in the false reality that Lee Harvey Oswald was the sole culprit in the murder of President John F. Kennedy, much as Sirhan Sirhan was responsible for the death of Senator Robert F. Kennedy. Along these lines, in the historical context of Operation Gladio, the Oklahoma City Murrah Federal Building bombing, the events of September 11, 2001, the London 7-7 bombings, and lesser episodes such as the shoe and underwear bombers, the engineering of consent has reached staggering new heights, where state-orchestrated terrorism is used to mold public opinion toward acceptance of militarized policing operations. The continued erosion of civil liberties and major sustained aggression against moderate Middle Eastern nations to cartelize scarce resources and politically reconfigure an entire region of the world. If one is to delve beneath the public relations narrative of each event, the Newtown Massacre and Boston Marathon bombing likewise appear to have broader agendas, where the public is again purposely misled. Conventional journalists and academics are reluctant to publicly address such phenomena for fear of being called conspiracy theorists. The achievements of modern public relations are further evident in the war and the 9/11 commissions themselves, both of which have spun the fantastic myths of Alan Dulles and Peter Zelikow, respectively, and that today maintain footholds in public discourse and consciousness. Indeed, the conspiracy theory meme, a propaganda campaign waged by the CIA beginning in the mid-1960s to counter criticism of the Warren Commission report, is perhaps as little known as Operation Mockingbird, the CIA program where hundreds of journalists and publishers actively devoted their services to spread agency disinformation. The overall effect of these combined operations has been an immensely successful program, continues to shape the contours of American political life and mediated reality. The present socio-political condition and suppression of popular democracy are triumphs of modern propaganda technique. And to all a good night, shouted President Cosmo Nutt, slamming the big book closed, waking everybody up, and they all took their empty hot chocolate mugs to the kitchen and tiptoed off to bed.
Well, it's been another long week in Moon Rock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. Local self-published author Solomon Sendak wrote the prologue to a conspiracy book published by local online publisher Pluto Press. So yeah, we've been waiting months and months to be able to put this book out. We've lived through years and years of American life with all its banalities and trivialities and ritual, going through the motions until this day. And finally, I'm able to say that the whole war on terror is phony. The whole meme winds up through the fake terror attacks since then. Only a few scattered outlaws know where it's leading. But we are Butch and Sundance, you and I. We're going to head them off at the goddamn pass. All of American life leans on the fake attacks of September 11, 2001. Oh, the killing and dying that day were real. But the rest of our culture, based on that false event, it's phony and fake. Built in sand, so to speak. George W. Bush did it. Yeah, that stupid idiot knows the truth. He'll never tell you. He's as afraid now as he was sitting in front of that second grade class. He knew the material was over his grade level. You've seen his press conferences where he's asked the questions. He dances around them saying there's a time for politics. Well, there's a time for jail cells. Dick Cheney did it. You heard the quote from Maneka about the incoming whatever into the Pentagon? Condoleezza Rice did it. She knows the truth. An actual terrorist. Karl Rove did it. We're an empire now, and you'll be left to study what we have done while we go on to do other evil things. Huh? Israel did it. The dancing Israelis on Israeli television saying, we're only there to film the event. You saw all that. You know all that. And still you park in your same spot at work. Go in at the same time. Go home. Come back again. How much more proof do you need? Well, there's plenty in this book. You take it to the bank, that is. My mother once said when she was young, they heard the War of the Worlds fake radio broadcast, and it scared them. They got into the car and drove just to be moving, just to be doing something, I guess, when the world ended. I think we do that every day. In our case, we know what's going on. We think there's nothing we can do about it. So we just work as hard as we can. Shop and drink and get into debt and whatever it takes just to be in motion. Because if we sit still, the world will end and we'll just still be sitting there. Used to have a great world. Woods, lakes, oceans, animals, people. And it's gone. The greatest generation, the silent generation, the silent majority, the younger generation, Generation X, baby boomers, millennials, Gen Z. Everyone is talking after church, on the phone, texting, surfing, Facebooking, just all around communicating, but nobody is really saying anything. Not that what you're saying is wrong or you shouldn't talk. No, I wish I could communicate like you. You're doing great things, creating, talking, being good to each other, laughing, being funny, working hard, learning new things, all that, but it's not enough. Even all that doesn't get it. Go to the root. All that, ideas, plans, well, it's just ridiculous. If we don't even care enough to understand how we're being manipulated by lies. Yes, by the CIA, the rich, the government, all that standard conspiracy theory jargon you've learned to mistrust. Well, if your life is going to make sense to have worth, don't throw your present life away. Just find room for more, because there is more, so much more. Just say it. So yeah, Operation Northwoods was a plan concocted by American leaders to murder American citizens, involving planes, and fool the American people into believing it was done by someone else in order to justify our military attacking Cuba. President John Kennedy was informed of the plan, and he vetoed it. They killed him. President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney did not turn down the plan to attack America on September 11, 2001. They went along with it. Perhaps they helped plan it. They live in big houses, big lives. We don't know all the details. We do know they've not told us the truth. The truth is not important to them, and neither are we. That is our world. Of course it matters. Practically everything is connected to that day. When you go as fast as you can on the elliptical, watching the TV in front of you, and you're sweating out your demons with your phone and your water and your locker key and all the little handy slots in the machine, you're not connected to the TV because you're above that. You're listening to your music on your iPod. This is your workout and your world. You have those earbuds shoved so far into your head, they're almost touching. You'd do anything not to have to listen to those two women talking to your right, or those two men to your left, or those goddamn idiots in front of you and behind you, the more idiots. Small talk doesn't only bore you, it's more than that. It isn't to the point. It's a disruption. It's hesitating. It's cowardice. You'd sooner poke your eardrums out than have to hear the conversations of the Americans around you. You're not an American. You're one, not one of those. You're different. You're better. You're smart. They're stupid. Stupid idiots. You cast glances towards CNN on the one TV, and there's cooking on the middle TV, house shopping on the third. Every day, all day, the three choices. You run, run, sweat. The TVs play loop after loop. You know the truth, but you say nothing. You know these people. They're Americans, and they will kill you. First utterance of 9/11 was, they know what you're getting at. They come toward you. They know your whole argument, your whole life, and they'll kill you. You shut your mouth, or we'll shut it for you. On the TV, the standard announcers talk about the elections. Sometimes terror, more elections, a little more terror. On the cooking shows, they compete, bake, taste, run full speed around a kitchen. The house shoppers clutch hundreds of thousands of dollars in tight fists. They seek a nice space for their comely lives. All based on the premise that the attacks of September 11, 2001 were done by radical Islamic terrorists. To understand and reclaim the truth would be to topple the turnip truck in the middle of Mayberry, to overturn the Pirovsky cart right in Red Square, the apple cart in front of the White House, the money changers' tables in the temple. There would be no more CNN, no more cooking with the chubby countess, no more biggest house, best bathroom, widest kitchen. You might not even need to artificially sweat yourself to death every day. Life would not be fake, it would be interesting. You would talk to your neighbor, and not about stupid, idiotic trivialities, but things that matter. You would not want to just die and give up and get it over with. You would want to live. That's what they've taken from you, your life. It matters. Think of what could be done with the billions of dollars that are spent for flag napkins at the church fellowship hall, for the little flags for everyone in the crowd at the ball game, for the flags for each student in the bleachers as they wheel into the gym, the last living veteran of the war that killed the Indians. And the flags next to the altar, the flag lapels from the United States Congress, the flags in the cemetery. Nobody really listens to TV news anymore, just the dumb people, and you're not one of those. Nobody reads newspapers, just the ones with kids in sports. No one listens to radio, just the old guy at the post office who has Rush on full blast all afternoon. Everyone's smarter than that. There's other stuff to occupy our time. Don't have to spend all day plowing fields or killing Indians or discovering washer dryers and automatic garage door openers and security systems. That's all been done. We really don't have that much to do. This is our Jetsons time. We can just whoosh around in the air with no roads, have something like fun. And of course, it's not really like that. So we imagine. We daydream. We wonder what life would be like over there, or if only. I imagine when we're not sweating, we're studying history. There's more to it than you know, U.S. history. There are lots and lots of Indians slaughtered, Ludlow Massacre, Haymarket Square, Palmer Raids, lynchings. But there's so much to know. If you don't know at least some of it, you don't know anything. You don't know what's going on if you watch CNN. But surprisingly, CNN does make sense if you know what you're looking at. You're looking at the culmination of manifest destiny. Such highly refined, sugar-coated superficiality that you can't even see it. It's kind of fascinating, actually. These Soviets drove up to someone on the street and shoved them inside. We've cloaked the black madria, made it smell like freshly baked bread, the kind you stick in the oven to try to sell the house. American History 101. Well, yeah, history is boring, that's right. Think of it as a Billy Joel song. Oswald didn't do it. James Earl Ray didn't do it. Osama didn't do it. Sirhan didn't do it. Oscar Torrijos, John Perkins, Salvador Allende, Jaime Rodos Aguilera, Hugo Chavez, El Salvador, the Phoenix Program, Operation Condor, Commies, Red, JFK, MLK, RFK, Wellstone, Lumumba, R-Band, Mossadegh, COINTELPRO, the American Indian Movement, the Black Panthers, the 60s anti-war movement. Scalia stops the counting of votes in Florida. George H.W. Bush smirks at the Ford funeral when he talks about the shooting of John Kennedy. The deaths of Kennedy witnesses the death of Gary Webb, Michael Hastings. How many more deaths? There are hundreds, thousands. Heart attacks, cancer, car crash, plane crash, personal character assassinations. The people driven crazy, MK Ultra. The persons trained to kill. Minds altered. And probably maybe more every day. We don't even know. This is the American Soviet novel we're living in. All we need is more vodka. Somebody having a novel doesn't freaking realize it. It isn't even real. It's made up. In the Soviet Union, you got disappeared by they. But the people had a good idea of what was going on. In America, years later, our they is so sophisticated. We really haven't any idea. This is America. Got your war on drugs. Panama just caused Gulf War. Now we're getting somewhere. 9/11, Oklahoma City, Waco, Aurora, Sandy Hook. Going too fast here? Slow down, can't. No time, there's more. Tucson, Aurora, Boston, Paris, San Bernardino, H. Wayne Carver, Gene Rosen, Barack Obama buried at sea, George Bush, there's a time for politics and it's absurd insinuations, dancing Israelis, we were just there to film it. There's a lot more. Still, that's just what we know of. Imagine how much is happening that we've never heard of, never had a whiff of the sulfur. So that's where we are. And it's very confusing. It's meant to be. But then again, there's this book you hold in your hands. Ever read a novel where you just really connect? It's like the writer knows your own mind, like you could have written it yourself. This guy's really smart, thinks just like you do. Yeah, I think you already know what's in there. You could have written it yourself, but you didn't. That's the news from Moonrock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs. All the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. And that wraps up our last show before Christmas and our second to last show of the year for 2018 for the new American Dream Radio Show. We thank you for joining us tonight. We hope you'll be back next week and every week right here on Revolution Radio at freedomflips.com. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
Thank you, Chuck, for all you did to make the show possible. And thanks to our guests, Anthony Rayson, Larry Pinkney, Philip Ferruggio, and Frank Cordero. Please visit the New American Dream website. You'll find information about our past all guests and also the show archives, newdream.us. Also, Penn Magazine, P-E-N-N, magazine.us. If you'd like to donate to the Des Moines Catholic Worker, write to the Phil Berrigan House, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314. And so, good night to my friends Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. Merry Christmas. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVay. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hawkstrom. Good night, Ken Lay. Good night, Mohammed Atta. Good night, Omar Mateen. Good night, Noah Posner. Good night, Crystal Campbell. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
Ad est fidelis. light is triumphant, when it's heaven, it's in Bethlehem. Not whom be dated, regem angelorum, venite adoremus. Venite adoremus, venite adoramus, Dominus. Good night, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Message to our favorite people in all the world, our listeners. Revolution Radio is you. Now, thanks to your continuing support, Revolution Radio will embark on its sixth year, bigger and better than ever. You, the listeners, have made Revolution Radio what it is, the number one commercial-free, listener-supported talk radio station on the web and in the world. With 24 hours of live programming, 92 hosts on two astounding networks, Studio A and Studio B, delivering directly to you the most cutting-edge information available. In fact, you, the listeners, have gone on to be some of our most popular radio hosts. You, the listener, offer feedback that molds our programming to appeal to our worldwide audience. In fact, you, the listener, provide us with eyes and ears on the ground to give us the inside scoop on stories the mainstream media fears to touch, reporting about newsworthy events in your area, and you, the listener, are the lifeblood of this station. And we thank you for being such a treasured member of our Revolution Radio family. And so this holiday season, from all of us to all of you, have a happy and safe holiday season, and let's make this new year a success once again together. Thank you.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God.